The master actually did not say much about the subject of idolatry, because he was ministering primarily among religious Jews in the land of Israel, or at least Jews who knew that they should be religious. Idolatry was not a major temptation for the first century religious Jews in the land of Israel, but it surrounded them nonetheless. He warns his disciples not to pray like the Gentiles who use vain repetitions, thinking that they will be heard for their many words. In other words, chanting mantras and repeating formulas and so forth. Because almost all non-Jews were involved in idolatry, the Hebrew word goy, which is translated as Gentile, was at times, depending on the context, synonymous with idolater. So the aversion of the sages towards Gentiles is in part because of their pagan practices. So, for example, in the Talmud there is a specific prohibition against teaching Gentiles, that is idolaters, Torah. Yeshua seems to be of a similar persuasion. He states in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you to pieces." In his book, A Rabbinic Commentary on the New Testament, Samuel Locke points out that pearls and what is holy refers to teachings of Torah, and additionally dogs and swine appears in rabbinic literature as referring to Samaritans and Gentiles, in other words, pagans. He therefore feels that the most likely background behind this saying of Yeshua's is the rabbinic prohibition of teaching Torah to idolaters. Another gospel story that is related to the concept of idolatry occurs when Yeshua is asked about paying taxes to Caesar. We read in Luke chapter 20 and verse 21, "They question him, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But he detected their trickery and said to them, 'Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?' They said, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.'" Well, at first, it doesn't appear that there is any direct connection between this story and the prohibitions of idolatry. Upon closer examination, we see that there is indeed a link. For one thing, taxes paid to Caesar would certainly be put to use building temples to idols. This question, then, is one of a halakhic nature. Is it permissible to give taxes that will be used in part for avodah zarah? Torah Club Volume 4 sheds some light on the passage. The master asked to see a coin. The Pharisees, like Yeshua himself, would not have been in possession of Roman currency while in the holy precincts of the temple. Some sages never deigned to carry Roman currency at all, because of its idolatrous image and inscriptions. The Talmud praises Menachem ben Simai, who was so careful regarding the prohibition of idolatry that he never looked at the image on a coin. The Herodians, however, would have had no such scruples. One of them produced a coin and brought it to the master, who asked, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" The fact that Yeshua does not have a coin in his possession paints a portrait of him that is scrupulous in his observance of the Torah's prohibitions of avodah zarah. Torah Club Volume 4 continues, "The image on a denarius minted in the days of the master was the image of Tiberius Caesar. The inscription was the Latin words Tiberius Caesar Divi, which mean the divine emperor Tiberius." When Yeshua says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's," he is poking at the idolatrous emperor worship. If it has Caesar's image stamped on it, it must belong to Caesar. But if it has God's image stamped on it, it must belong to God. But on what coin is God's image found? None. Instead of on coins, God's image is found on human beings. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 states, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him." How much belongs to the god Caesar? Whatever has his image on it, one denarius. How much belongs to the true God? Whatever has his image on it, man himself. To render unto Caesar what is Caesar's means to surrender a denarius to him. to render unto God what is God's, means to surrender the whole human being to him. Such an answer gave both the Pharisees and the Herodians, and ourselves as well, something to think about. The whole discussion, then, is about Avodah Zarah. We see that Yeshua was very much concerned with the seriousness of idolatry and dealing with it in the proper way. Yeshua addresses idolatry most directly and most head-on when he sends his disciples to go out to all nations and teach the Gentiles to obey everything he had commanded. He tells them to immerse them in his name and in the name of the Father and the Spirit. This immersion represents a conversion to Jewish monotheism, a complete breakaway from idolatry, because in those days, all nations were idolatrous and pagan. So in the early church, a convert's baptism was a big deal. Early church tradition required the Gentile who underwent immersion into the faith to first fast and repent for the worship of idols, and then to verbally renounce worshiping false gods and idols, and finally to renounce the power of Satan. Only then was the new convert deemed ready for baptism.